I greet you this morning on our 37th anniversary, the name of Jesus, and many happy and many glorious returns to the CFC family. We can bless the Lord with all of our hearts for leading us, for being our shepherd all these 37 years, and being so good to us. I believe that there's more to come, and I praise God that I can be part of this family. Praise God that we can look forward to glorious days. We fight decline and we look forward to a younger generation, second generation, leading us forward. We're coming to the close of one generation, the biblical 40 years. And we praise God for leading us and raising up many young people, brothers and sisters, men and women of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. And the word on my heart this morning is what you see on the banner here. Probably you can't see it very well enough, but think of that day, on the last day of the feast, that Jesus stood and cried, John chapter 7 and verse 38. And he said, "If any man or if any woman is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scriptures said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And I believe that Jesus was thinking of John, of Ezekiel chapter 47, when he cried out that day in the midst of that multitude, many of them keeping the ritual, many of them religious, but among them there were a few who hungered after God. And Jesus cried and said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." And that's how it was 37 years ago. We were thirsty for God. We were thirsty for Jesus. We were thirsty for the Holy Spirit. And we came to Him and drank. And we have seen out of our innermost being have flowed rivers of living water. And it says in Ezekiel 47, one of those verses, in verse 9, it says, "Everything will become fresh and will live where the river goes." Everything will become fresh and will live where the river goes. And at the end of that, you see, it says there were trees on either side of the river whose leaves don't wither, who bring forth fruit every month, and the leaves were for healing. And that's the church, and that's by the grace of God and the mercy of God, that's how it's been with us for these 37 years. But it's easy to become complacent and self-satisfied with our accomplishments. As Brother Zach reminds us in the letter that we will read a little later for this occasion, the reproach we bore for many years has diminished, and now we are acclaimed and recognized. In the early days, it was like it was said of the early church, you know, in Acts chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14. I want to read that to you from the message. It says, even though people admired them a lot, that's how it was. People admired us a lot, that we do not serve for a salary, that we do not command people to tithe. We don't pass an offering bag under your nose. So everyone admired us a lot. But the outsiders, it says, were wary about joining them. No one dared associate with them. That's how it was in the early days. And it says, on the other hand, those who put their trust in the Master were added right and left, men and women both. God added, and that's what God has done through the years. He has added to the church. Many, many were coming, many were seeking after God, thirsting after God. But sadly, there are some also who have other motives in wanting to join the church. And it says there that multitudes were added. And we have seen through the years from six families, from about 10, 12 people, a few young brothers, that we have grown now to so many that we don't have room. Doesn't excite us, the numbers you've heard in this church, if you've been coming here regularly, doesn't excite us. What does rejoice and excite our hearts, like it says there, that the number of disciples kept increasing in leaps and bounds. And the Message Bible paraphrases that. And the number of disciples increase in the church. We rejoice and we are excited. We thank God that that also is happening and has happened among us. And even though, like in the early church, when the number of disciples increased, there were murmurings, there were grumblings because of discrimination. But it's better that way, that the number of disciples increase. We can handle those problems like they handled it. They chose out 7 spiritful men. And thank God we have spiritual men and women in the church who can handle those problems. But we are not wanting to become a mega church. We are not wanting to glory in our numbers. We want disciples. And through the years, that's been the burden of our hearts. And that's how Brother Zach has ministered. We've had the privilege of having him here lead us in this church for many, many years. He gave up being an elder more than 11 years ago. And thank God for Brother Newton. And together, we have worked together in unity and oneness, which I believe is unique. We don't take glory for that. We don't believe that is anything of our own manufacturing. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. And like you read up here, the river flows, and wherever the river flows, there has been freshness, there has been life, and there has been unity. And that's what we want, that we continue that way in the coming years, my brothers and sisters, till Jesus returns. And as we see a new generation of leadership grow up in our midst, we want the river of God to flow through the church. The river must continue to flow through the church as it began 37 years ago. It was a river. And Jesus must always be in our midst, crying out to those, if any man, if any woman is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And that's a word that I believe God wants to remind us about. If we are to continue wholeheartedly loving God and loving one another. And it says that in Ezekiel 47, you can turn there for a moment, that whole chapter, I believe, is what Jesus had in mind. It says it in verse 9, it'll come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there, and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. It says in Psalm 36 and verse 8, it says, they drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. The Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 said, Lord, give me this water that I don't need to come here and drink. I don't need to come here and draw. And Jesus said, the water that I will give you will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's the life that God calls us to live. And I want you to see a few things in Ezekiel chapter 47, what Jesus was thinking about when he cried out there, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. It says then, verse 1, he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east, and water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. That's where the source was. It was from under the altar. There must be an altar, my brothers and sisters, in our lives. The river flows from under the altar. We cannot manufacture it. It comes from under the altar. Like Ezekiel had in that vision. The altar where our self-life is sacrificed and put to death. We must, it's not the family altar, you know, people, your family prayer, you pray together as a family, that's good. It's more than that. It's the altar where my self-life is put to death. Then the river will flow. I cannot automatically just take Jesus' word that he who believes in me, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. If I'm not willing to have an altar in my life, if I'm not willing to deal with self, that is the biggest problem for us. That is what hinders, like we would see here, the river flowing. That is what made the river into a trickle, as we will see in this chapter. So, there must be an altar. Abraham built an altar. And when he backslided and told a lie and he came back from Egypt, he came back to the beginning. We don't have time to look at it. And he built the altar again. Noah, when he came in the new creation, when the earth was destroyed, the first thing that he did was he built an altar. And he sacrificed to the Lord. And so, you and I, when we come to Jesus in repentance and faith, the first thing that we have to do, not just sit comfortably, I got a ticket to heaven. I must build an altar in my life. Because from that altar, from under that altar, will flow a river. And it must never be a trickle. And I wanted to see, what is it that made the river become a trickle? If you see in Ezekiel in chapter 8, in verse 5. Ezekiel in chapter 8, in verse 5. I'm not going to read everything there, but I would encourage you to read that chapter also sometime. It says then, Ezekiel 8:5. So, it says, he stretched out, verse 3, the form of her hand and caught me by the lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up. This is Ezekiel, between earth and heaven. Brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the idol of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy, was located. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the appearance which I saw on the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, raise your eyes now toward the north. So I raised my eyes toward the north, and behold, to the north of the altar gate was this idol of jealousy at the entrance. And he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations which the house of Israel are committing here. I'll be far from my sanctuary, but yet you will see greater abominations. And this is what we are seeing today in Christendom. He brought me to the entrance of the court, and when I looked, and behold, a hole in the wall. He said to me, Son of man, now dig through the wall. So I dug through the wall, and behold, an entrance. And he said, go in and see the wicked abominations that they are committing here. I entered and looked, and behold, every form of creeping things and beasts and detestable things. But all the idols of the house of Israel were carved on the wall all around. Standing in front of them were 70 elders of the house of Israel, with censers in their hand. And he said to me, Son of man, verse 12, do you see what the elders of the house of Israel are committing in the dark? Each man in the room of his carved images. We see here why the river does not flow, why it becomes a trickle. And I want you to see this morning, let God speak to our hearts to see whether the river which should be there has become a trickle because of some of the things mentioned here. And he says there, you will see greater abominations. Verse 13, brought me to the entrance of the gate of the Lord, which was toward the north. Behold, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. That was the goddess of fertility. The idolatry. And it says there, I'll show you even greater abominations. And it says that there were 70 men. He brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. Verse 16, behold, at the entrance of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of the Lord. No reverence for God, no fear of God. That's gone. No wonder the river became a trickle. There was this idol of jealousy. And God is a jealous lover, my brothers and sisters. God has to have the throne in our lives. It says in James in chapter 4 and verse 5, you can look at it. It says, do you think the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. And who is that speaking to? It's to holy brethren, but who have become adulteresses, who have become friends with the world. And the Holy Spirit says, know you not that he jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us? It says in the Message Bible, do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that he is a fiercely jealous lover. And what he gives in love is far better than anything else you find. Then you'll know that I was serious about this all along. That I'm a jealous God and not to be trifled with. God is a jealous God. He's jealous for our love. He cannot share the throne with anything else. And he will not share the throne with ourselves. With our self-life. Our self-life must be put on the altar, my brothers and sisters. We become disciples. Jesus said we are to hate father, mother, brother, sister, wife, children, and our own life, and take up the cross and deny ourselves daily and follow after him. That's the self-life that is put on the altar. If you and I do that, and if we have been doing that for 37 years, I thank God for the grace that he has given me, that I have sought to do that. I want to be a disciple. I'm not attached to my community. I'm not attached to my family. I belong to the family of God. And I want to serve God and do God's will in my life. And so I deny myself. I seek to deny myself. Take up the cross daily and follow after Jesus. And put self on the altar in all the situations. Yeah, there are times we fail, but we can go back, like Abraham did, to the beginning, to the altar that we had built, and crucify our self-life there. Self on the throne, the river will not flow. It will be a trickle. And that's what's happened today in Christendom, in believing charismatic Christendom. Self is on the throne, like it was in Ezekiel's day. Sex and love of money and entertainment and materialism. These have taken the place that God has. Paul warned Timothy that in the last days men will be lovers of pleasure, lovers of self and lovers of money and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that can creep into the church. That can creep into our lives. The generation that has not known much of the suffering and trial that we had gone through, who has not carried much of the reproach that we have carried in the beginning, that generation that has had it good, and all of us who are part of this, of the CFC church family, we can see that God has prospered us. We don't preach a prosperity gospel, but God has blessed us and prospered us. I don't think there's one person here who decided to follow Jesus, who decided to be committed to him and to the church here, who will ever say that they have suffered financially or materially or in any other area. God has blessed us because we seek to follow him. And so we have to see that the river is a trickle. The river must continue to flow. It should not become a trickle in the church. And the only way that we can preserve that in the younger generation, you younger brothers and sisters, is to build an altar in your life. Crucify self. Self is to be slain on the altar. It can have no place. God will have no place with self. The river will flow. And where it flows, it will bring freshness. It will bring life. And your life and my life can bring freshness. I don't have to be stale. I don't have to stagnate. I can bring freshness into other people's lives. I can bring life because the river flows. I've come to Jesus and I drink. And out of my innermost being flow rivers of living water. It says in Ezekiel 47:2, he brought me out by the way of the north gate, led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east, and behold, water was trickling from the south side. So we see there are lessons that we can learn. If you look at the letters that Jesus wrote to the seven churches, five of them he censored. You see from the beginning a regression, you know, a downward slide. There were letters to individual churches, but you see there's something there that the Holy Spirit reveals to us, that it begins with losing our first love, like the leader in the church in Ephesus, and then the leader in the church in Pergamum. They began to run after money. They held to the teaching of Balaam. Balaam would love money. And then sex came in. And sex sin. And then we see that rampant today, coming into believing charismatic churches. And do you think we are any exception, my brothers and sisters? That can happen to us. And then and the leader of the church, entire terror, further regression, further downslide. They were tolerating sex sin. There was a woman in the church, Jezebel, whom they tolerated, who taught God's servants to commit immorality. And God and Jesus says that I gave her time to repent. If she does not repent, I will cast her on a bed of sickness. And all were slept with her. Tolerating sin. We cannot tolerate sin in our lives, my brothers and sisters. And praise God for brothers and sisters God raises up in this church who will keep the gates closed against the flood that seeks to enter the church. Where we tolerate sin, tolerate sex sin, we tolerate immorality, we tolerate the love of money, we have excuses, divorce, and people, the Christian leaders divorce and they continue to lead the church and they continue to serve God. That's what happens when we tolerate sin. And further downwards, Sardis had a name, that the leader there in the church had a name that they were alive, but they were dead, Jesus said. And then lastly, you see Laodicea, lukewarm. Where is Jesus? Outside the church. I want to look at that. That can happen to us. Jesus outside the church. In Ezekiel, the vision that Ezekiel had, the glory of God was beginning to depart. At the end of that vision, the glory went on the threshold and departed from the temple of God where the glory was manifested. We want the glory of God in our midst, but we cannot tolerate sin in our personal lives, and we cannot make excuses. We have to stand against it. We want a generation that will stand, can take up the baton, take up the sword and fight. Fight for our lives, fight for our wives and our mothers and sisters and our children. This is a battle, my brothers and sisters. And may God help us that the river will flow through the church, that I will, from my innermost being, will not be a trickle, but rivers of living water, because I put self on the altar. Give no room for self. Jesus is Lord. And I make Him Lord. Everything else, like I was saying in the wedding of Chetan and Jurusha, everything else is dog dung, not chani. You know, Brother Vetri translate. I don't know how it is in the Tamil. Dog dung. Naiti. Yes, that's the word Paul uses. And if I don't see everything else like that, then the river will be a trickle. And it will not be like Jesus said, out of my innermost being will flow rivers of living water. It will not be like you see further when in Ezekiel 47, that wherever the river flowed, it brought freshness. It says, behold, water was trickling from the south side, and it becomes, the river becomes, the trickle becomes a river that begins to flow. When we deal with self in our lives, the river will begin to flow from under the altar. There is no other source. I crucify self, put self on the altar, and the river will flow. It will be water up to the ankles. We don't have time to look at it. It will be water up to the knees and water up to the loins. And then, like we read there, it says it becomes a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen. We don't need to struggle. We don't need to have our feet on the ground. The river will take us off our feet. And we can swim. We can be carried by the river. And that's what God has done for this church through the years, through the 37 years. The river has flowed. It's brought freshness into people's life. Enough water to swim that cannot be forded. And then it says there, in Ezekiel 47, and these waters go out toward the eastern region and go down into the Araba. Then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. I like that word. The waters of the sea, which is salty and stagnant and restless, that's how it is. The sea represents people biblically. And the Antichrist is going to come from there. The restlessness there's in Christendom. And they substitute it with many things, with all their gimmicks, with entertainment and so many other things. And counterfeit, miracles and healing and all these things. Restless. And God has put us here. And not just here in Bangalore. We spread to different parts of India and all over the world. We thank God the message has been carried forth by Brother Zach and other brothers to other countries, bringing freshness into people's lives. And I want to say that is God's will for you and me, my brothers. And don't say, no, you know, I don't do anything in the church. You know, I'm just your sisters. I'm just a housewife. I'm just a mother. I'm quite insignificant. But you can bring freshness. You can bring freshness into your home, into your husband's life, into your children's life. You can bring freshness to your neighbor who visits you. And we brothers, that we can see that there's freshness, that we are not stale. We must hate becoming stale. We must hate becoming stagnant. We want freshness. We want to bring freshness into people's lives. That's what will happen when the river flows. We will never become stale. If we are anointed continually, like Jesus was, we'll never get stale. Like the miracle He did in Cana, where Jesus manifested His glory. What did they say to Him when He turned that water into wine? They said to Him, everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now. I like that. That's how it must be. I must not become stale even if I get older. I must be fresh. Even if I lived to 90 years, I must be fresh. And that's what I want in my life. And that's what we see in his example in Brother Zhang. That's what we see in Brother Newton. We see with other brothers here. There's a freshness. You greet them, it's on their face. I praise God with all my heart that I can be part of what God is doing. That it can bring freshness into people's lives. And that's what the church is to be. No, we don't serve when we come to the end, 37 years, 40 years, and become stale. And what we give to people is stale wine that has just gone flat. No, we want to give them the good wine. You kept the good wine until now to remain fresh even till the end. We heard on Wednesday, we don't look back. We don't look back. We look forward. And we want to go with the river. The river, there's no going back. It flows. It flows. And that's how it must be. And finally, I want to see that everything will live where the river goes. It says there in verse 9, it'll come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes, and there will be fruitfulness. We read there of the trees on either side of the river bringing forth leaves that don't wither, bringing forth fruit every month, that I can be fruitful, not just, at fruit season time. I can be fruitful all through the year, every month, every day, that I can be fruitful if I am flowing with the river. It says their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Ezekiel 47 verse 12. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, Acts 10, verse 38, a word that we have heard through the years. Jesus was anointed, and we are to be anointed like Him with the Holy Spirit and power. And He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil. That's our calling as a church, my brothers and sisters. That's the healing I want to see. Physical healing is part of that, because sometimes sickness is caused by the devil. But that's not the main thing. That today we see charismatic Pentecostal Christendom emphasize. Are people healed supernaturally? We believe in supernatural healing. We believe in miracles. But we believe most of all in healing people who are oppressed by the devil. And I praise God that that's how it's been in the church. I praise God that's how it's been in our lives, in the leadership, that we have been able to bring healing into the lives of people oppressed by the devil. The river will flow and bring life and bring healing. That's the healing needed in the church and in the world today, my brothers and sisters. I don't care if I don't see one supernatural physical healing, but I want to heal people who are oppressed by the devil. Because Jesus came to do that. And our calling as a church, it's not just two or three brothers, and not just the eight brothers that we have and a few sisters. God wants every one of us, my brothers and sisters. God wants every one of us to flow along with this river, to let this river flow from our innermost being, bringing life, bringing freshness, bringing healing into people's lives. And finally, I want you to read from Ezekiel 47 verse 8. I want you to listen to it from the Message. It says, "This water flows east, descends to the Arabah and then into the sea of stagnant waters. When it empties into those waters, the sea will become fresh wherever the river flows. Life will flourish. Great schools of fish, because the river is turning the salt sea into fresh water. Where the river flows, life abounds." And I want you to listen to this. "Fishermen will stand shoulder to shoulder." That is the strength of this church. And I can testify before God that Brother Zach and Brother Newton and myself have worked together in as one new man. That is the secret of this church. The devil has sought to bring division. He sought to bring misunderstanding. He sought to break fellowship. He's never succeeded. And he will never succeed till Jesus comes. Praise God. And I believe that. That is the strength of this church. That we serve him shoulder to shoulder. Zephaniah prophesies in chapter 3 in verse 9. He says, "I'll give to the people's purified lips." That's what happens when I live in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. I will have purified lips. My speech will get purer and purer. "I'll give to the people's purified lips that all of them may call on the name of the Lord." That we can call on the name of the Lord from a pure heart to serve him shoulder to shoulder, with one shoulder. I pray that God will raise up, not just Brother Zach and Newton myself, I pray that God will raise up brothers and sisters who will join us in serving God with one shoulder. We'll have purified lips. And so let us respond to the cry of Jesus and come and drink freely of his Holy Spirit. It says there, he spoke of the Holy Spirit who was not yet given, because the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And those are the verses that following what Jesus cried out on that day. He spoke of the Holy Spirit. "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Drink of the Holy Spirit. The church was born by the Holy Spirit. It was not planted. It was not, you've heard it before, it was not anyone's bright idea, not Brother Zach's, definitely. It was born in 16 DeCosta Square, 37 years ago. I can testify to that and many others also. So let's come to him. Let's keep coming to him and drink from him. Drink from the Holy Spirit. Be carried along by this river, that it will never become a trickle. That we'll remove the idol of jealousy, if there's any such thing in our lives. Any idols, that we will say, like it says in Isaiah 30, that we will say to our idols, we'll take them and smash them. "Be gone, you unclean thing." And I want to say to every one of us, if there's anything like that, that's why your life is so dry, you've become stale, you've stagnated. There's an idol of jealousy that God wants you to remove. He will not remove it from you. He'll give you the strength, he'll give you the power. You have to take it and smash it and say, "Be gone, you unclean thing." Remove that. And particularly self, where I want to do my own will, where I want to live for myself, I, me and my family. May that change, my brothers and sisters. There's hope then for the church. The glory will not depart. God will be in our midst. The river will flow, bringing freshness and life and healing to many.
Brothers and sisters, let's, as we think about what we heard, let's just listen to this song. It says, speaks about this river. There's a river that flows. I'll ask Keith to say a few words about it before he sings.
Yes, so we sang the song a few weeks ago on Wednesday, and we many times assume that there is a trickle that God has for us. We just heard there's a storehouse in God, an abundance of everything. He fills our lives with grace upon grace, and He gives us His Holy Spirit, and He is available for us as a helper, as a comforter, not in the form of a trickle, but really as a river. Many of us have seen a river. It's an overwhelming force, and that's what we want to believe in. We want to bless you with this song. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. Come, there is a river that never shall run dry. Times Paul wrote to young Timothy, he was instructing and encouraging him through his letters. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14 to 16 says this: Paul writing to Timothy, young Timothy, like we heard on Wednesday, that may have been feeling a little lost, a little left out, or a little down, but Paul was there to encourage him with his letters. And he says, I hope to visit you soon, but just in case I'm delayed, I'm writing this letter so you'll know how things ought to go on in God's household. And he encouraged Timothy with his letter. And even today, just like Paul did, our brother Zach has written to us to tell us what's on his heart as we turn the page on 37 years as a church, and invite Brother Ian to come and share what Brother Zach has written in his letter to us.
This is a saying in English that familiarity breeds contempt. We have had the privilege here in Bangalore of having somebody like Brother Zach with us, live here together with his family. And I think of all the churches, not only in India but all over the world, we have been most privileged. But I'm afraid that we can take that for granted, like we take many things for granted, because it comes freely, easily. And we don't want ever to be guilty of that. We don't want to take a true servant of God like Brother Zach, and I thank God I had the privilege working together with him for 37 years, with Brother Newton for more than 30 years, I think. And so I thank God, and I believe many of us are thankful for him, for his, not just his ministry, not just, not the gift that God has given him, but the anointing and the ministry of life that he has had here among us. And we have seen that by his life and example, the way he has lived and brought up his family, brought up his children, he and Sister Annie, that they have been examples in a decaying Christendom where we see Christian leaders and their family and their children bad examples and a dishonor to the Lord. We thank God for a true brother and a true servant of God like him. And I know he's with us, probably even watching this live webcast this morning. And so if you're there, Brother Zach, we really want to say thank you to you, and we want to express it by giving him a good thank you for all the years you have blessed us and led us, and we wish that you could have been with us here this morning, but we know that you're in spirit and probably even watching this live webcast. So I want to read to you what he has shared from his heart. We will have it also displayed on the screen. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, it is with great joy that we celebrate our 37th anniversary as a church. As we look back over these past years, we see the amazing ways in which God has led us thus far. He has led us through many a trial to one triumph after another. Every trial has led to a triumph. When we started out as an extremely small church in 1975, we were despised and rejected by most of the Christian groups in India. Many felt that we were a cult proclaiming false teaching. As a result, most people were afraid to join us or even to meet us. We did not defend ourselves, we just kept quiet. We believed that time would show everyone the work that God has done in us and that we stood for. We also believed that God would vindicate us himself in his own good time. And God has done that now in more ways than one. Initially, we wanted to be a small testimony for Christ's glory only in Bangalore. But God decided to make us a blessing to thousands of people in India as well. And then later, in his sovereign will, he decided to make us a blessing to millions of people all over the world. He has done this by spreading our messages worldwide through our books and DVDs, by spreading our messages worldwide through the internet, through the churches that he has planted in India and in other countries, and through the conferences that we have in India and in different countries. By the grace of God, we preach today the same full gospel message that we preached 37 years ago, the message of full and free forgiveness in Christ, of being filled with the Holy Spirit, of God becoming our loving Father, of being blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, etc. we still proclaim the gospel as the power of God that enables us to love God with all our hearts, to love all human beings, to love one another as Christ loved us, to overcome all temptations, to be free from the love of money, to walk in Jesus' footsteps, to be rich towards God, to serve the Lord freely and not for a salary, to build the church as a family and as an expression of Christ's body, etc. We cannot take any credit for this work that God Himself has done. We remain unprofitable servants, but the Lord wanted the message of the new covenant to go forth all across India and the world. And so in His sovereignty, He decided to use CFC as one of His churches to spread that message. Men and demons have opposed us greatly in many ways, but they have not been able to stop the work of God, and they never will. As we look back over 37 years, we are reminded of the psalmist's words in Psalm 118, verses 22 to 24, and we say, "The stone that the builders rejected has now become the most important stone." This is something the Lord Himself has done. It is marvelous and glorious in our eyes. This is a day that the Lord Himself has brought us to, so we will rejoice in the Lord and celebrate. I thank God for the many wonderful brothers and sisters, young and old, that He has added to our CFC family in these past years. Ephesians 1:18 says, "God has been made rich because we who are Christ have been given to Him." You brothers and sisters have made God rich, and you have made me rich too. I value all of you, love all of you, and esteem you very highly. I have often said that wherever two church elders are united in spirit, Christ is there in their midst, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against such a church. God has kept Brother Ian and me united in spirit right from the time CFC started. If we have disagreed on some matters at times, we have still remained one in spirit. Our unity has come from two factors primarily. One, first of all, both of us know God as our own Father in a very personal way. This knowledge has made us totally secure in Him. So we do not feel threatened by each other or by anyone else, and we are free from the spirit of competition and jealousy. Two, secondly, both of us know and remember that we were great sinners when the grace of God reached out and saved us. So we have never felt superior to each other or to anyone else. God has now given you Yin and Newton as your elders. And our prayer for the future that God will raise up godly elders to lead CFC in the coming days as well. Finally, let me give this warning to all of us. It is when we are most blessed by God that we stand most in danger. The danger we face today is the danger of relaxing in self-satisfaction and pride and self-congratulation. If we do that, we will end up deceiving ourselves and come short of God's full purpose for our lives. So it is important at this time that we are clear in our mind as to what the one mark of true spirituality really is. It is denying our own will in every situation, every day, and doing the will of God at all times. We need to be gripped by this truth. This is the way of the cross that our Lord walked on this earth, and that He has called us to walk in our personal lives, in our families, and in our church. We must determine that we will always walk along this path until Christ returns. May the Lord bless and encourage you all. Annie and my four sons and their families all send you their warm greetings to you on this day, your brother and your servant, for Jesus' sake, Zach Poonen.
Psalm 145 in the Message Bible reads this way: "I lift you high in praise, O my God and my King. I'll bless your name into eternity. I'll bless you every day and keep it up from now to eternity. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to His greatness. Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. Your beauty and splendor have everyone talking. I compose songs on your wonders. Your marvelous doings are headline news. I could write a book full of the details of your greatness. and the fame of your goodness spreads across the country. Your righteousness is on everyone's lips. God is all mercy and grace, not quick to anger. He's rich in love. God is good to one and all. Everything He does is suffused with grace. Everything He does is suffused with grace. I could write a book full of the details of your greatness. I compose songs on your wonders. We want to sing a song, and this is by the young folks in the church. It's called 10,000 Reasons. 10,000 Reasons. We all have many reasons to bless our Lord. And invite the young people to come up over here and take your place as we gather together to sing the song, bless each other and bless the church, called 10,000 Reasons.
I have thousands of reasons to thank Him, praise Him, and to glorify Him. Till now, He has been enough in all my situations, and I confess now that He's been more than enough. He's more than enough till my last breath. I want to obey Him. Amen.
Saved my life from a horrifying death. He snatched me from the clutches of death, and as Psalms 49:15 says, He truly redeemed my soul, and He has received me, and I praise God for it. Amen.
I just want to thank God for what He has done in my life in the last year. He showed me that who He is, that He is my Father. I learned many things. He showed Himself as a Father to me more and more in the last year. I praise and thank God for who He is. Amen.
As Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your plans to the Lord and He'll establish it for you. I've experienced this in every step of my life in the past 1 year, and the Lord has indeed been a loving Father. I've seen His mercy flow on me abundantly, His love and grace on my life, and He is indeed an awesome God, and I really can't explain or express how good He's been to me. Thank you.
I want to thank God for making everything favorable to me in the place I'm living, where we are not like much. And I want to thank Him for whenever I wanted to come to this place, He arranged a trip and made everything possible for me. Thanks, Lord.
I want to thank God for all that He has done in my life. So thank God for bringing me back. And I thank God for, especially I want to thank God that He has, whenever I was discouraged, whenever I am in need and I'm heavy and I'm dry, and I come to church and God is for the meeting, and God has spoken to me right to my heart. He has given me joy, and He has met my need. I want to thank God for all that He has done.
I just want to thank the Lord. He saved me. And He gave Himself to me, and He filled me with the Holy Spirit, and wherever I'm traveling. And God gave me the verse, Acts chapter 13 and 52, it says, the disciples filled with the joy and the Holy Spirit. I want to fill with the joy and with the Holy Spirit each and every time.
Like never before. my soul sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
reasons, as the young people sang. So we want to give you the opportunity, and Brother Salom is going to assist us. We'd like, as we heard on Wednesday, popcorn testimonies, and just stand up, share one brief reason what you are thankful to God for and for the church, and over to Salom now. So let's be brief, let's be quick, as we've heard many times, we've been exhorted to. Like Brother Newton says, I want to quote him, stand up, speak up, and shut up. So, let's bless the Lord. Let's come up with our reasons. Selvam.
So, as you see the picture on the screen, the popcorn, when the popcorn becomes hard, pops up and falls. So, if your heart with praises, stand up or pop up and say one word of praise and sit. As we heard that we have 10,000, not 10,000, we have lakhs of reasons to praise the Lord. God did lakhs of things for us. God answered lakhs of prayers in our life, in this year and our whole life, and maybe even today or even this week. So if your heart with praise, as psalmist say, I want to praise the Lord in the midst of His congregation. So pop up. So I want to see 10 hands or 8 hands. Just Keith reminded me that because it's 37th anniversary, we want to give thanks for all those who are below 37 years.
My heart is full of joy and peace. Even in my trials and difficulties, God gave me His peace and rest because of my personal connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is giving me growth according to this Colossians 2:19.
I just want to thank the Lord for His word. Either it is Wednesday meetings or either the fellowship we have here, every time I come here, I am encouraged by God's word. It's so true, and it's so true in so many of our lives also. When you look back, we can see whenever we hear the word here from the pulpit or from brothers sharing, my heart is so encouraged. Whatever the condition I come in, discouraged or, you know, confused or whatever it is, I come here, I hear the word, and I'm so encouraged. I thank the Lord for giving us His word and keeping us His spirit here, that it always encourages. It's a place of hope for us. Amen.
I just want to thank the Lord this year very specifically, that the different situations that He's taken me through, and He's shown me that all I need to do is that I need to put my hope on Him and lean on Him and trust Him and not in my own understanding, which has removed, which has kept no place of fear in my life. And I know that God has planned my future and His plans are perfect, and nothing can happen to me which is not of His plan, and I just want to submit to His plan for the following year.
I thank God for His continuous encouragement in my life. The fellowship helped me to the connection and personal relationship with Jesus every moment. I thank God for this.
I thank God for keeping me alive. And I thank God for loving me so much, and I thank God that He never let go of my hand, no matter how difficult times get for me, that He's always there for me, and I just praise and thank Him for always being there for me. Amen.
I want to thank the Lord for the goodness what He's done in my life. When I failed Him many times, I've seen His goodness, and I was lacking a lot of boldness in my life, and I prayed to give me boldness, and I've seen His goodness, and has given me grace in my inner life. I want to be more witness to Him. Thank you.
I'm so happy and privileged to be part of this church, and I know that the Holy Spirit of God is here. And I say that because every time I walk in through the doors of CFC and start the meetings, I don't remember a single time that I was not convicted of sin when I was living in sin. And like it says in John 16, the Spirit of God convicts us of sin and of righteousness, of judgment. And so it has been every time I've walked in and sat for the meetings. And so I'm really thankful for that. I'm also thankful to God that He has shown me that through my trials and through my afflictions that I will keep His word, because it says in Psalm 19 that before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep Your word. And so the Lord has shown me to do that, and I'm thankful for the examples, for all you brothers and sisters for encouraging me. And this would be my last Sunday, as I would be leaving for my studies, and I will miss you all very deeply.
I thank God for giving me peace in my spirit, for many good things, for clearing in many confusions in my life. I thank God for the clarity He has given me in my plans for my studies, in managing my finances, quite a lot of physical things, and in spirit I'm quite excited and joyful about where I am today. Thank God.
Growing up in CFC is such a blessing for me, right from Sunday school till our teams meetings. It just tells us so much more about Jesus and what He can do in our life. And the biggest challenge I face is being a disciple of Jesus, and I pray that I would do that in these days.
Amen. Yeah, the Lord has been extremely good to me this last year. He has given me so many fresh starts in my life, and I'm so thankful to Him. Amen.
I really wanted to thank the Lord for speaking to me through CFC, specifically on three things in the past 7 months. That be joyful and keep praying and be thankful in all the situations. And it speaks in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Always be joyful, always keep on praying, always be thankful no matter what happens. For that is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen.
I praise and thank God for miraculously leading us to a church in Dubai initially. And thank the church for teaching us the application of sin in our life, and eventually hating us. Also thank and praise God for all the word of encouragement that has been given to us. Thank you.
Ezekiel 47 has been the password of my computer during my time in Bangalore, and it shows me once again that I'm here at the right time. And I've been blessed this year so much that being here is one of the top 10 among all those blessings. And surely my boat would be sinking and my nets would break if I wouldn't come to Jesus all the time and tell Him I'm a sinner, and He would tell me, I will make you a fisher of men. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God, I have hope in Jesus because He loves me. He corrects me whenever I slip or when I do sin or when I come out from His will. He puts me into a situation, He convicts me, He helps me to fix it and turn to Him and repent and run to Him. I want to thank God, and He brought me to this church. This church has protected me in so many ways. It will take time to explain. Whenever I come here, I'm blessed by His word and blessed by the fellowship. I want to thank God. Amen.
We celebrate the independence of our country on August 15th. And all of us remember the time when we were under the British rule. And then we are so happy that we got our independence. And so, I want to take you back beyond 1975. You know, the church started here in 1975, and quickly, I want to take you to a scenario. Well, what was the situation earlier to 1975? Can someone? I want all those who've been in the church for more than 25 years, can you please stand up, brothers and sisters? All those who've been in the church for more than 25 years, can you please stand? And let's give them a hand this morning. well, even the second floor. So you see, not so many. Please be seated. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for your faithfulness. So what I want to tell you is, before 1975, as far as I can remember, I know I was a young brother those days, and I was looking around. I was saved a few years earlier, and there was so much of confusion. Everywhere I went, there was division. God's people were defeated. God's people were divided. And there was no clear vision. And that was the situation in 1975. And it was at that time that God raised up Brother Zach with a vision, with a burden, like an architect who has a clear picture of the building before construction. And I must say, brothers and sisters, you know, God sent His Son into this world 2,000 years ago to redeem us, to show us love. And just at the end of this century, after 2,000 years, and I can say especially in India, that God raised up Brother Zach here in 1975 with a burden for a pure testimony for the Lord, with a vision to build up the body of Christ, that God's people should not be slaves to sin. And God's people who were scattered in different groups, He gave a call. Come out of her, my people, of Babylon. And all those who were defeated, who were not happy, some people came out of different groups. And that's how the church started here in 1975, because one man was commissioned by God. One man was sent by God with a burden and a vision to gather God's people and to lead them higher. And I remember in 1975 and before, I never heard about victory over sin anywhere. I never heard about the body of Christ. I never heard about fellowship. And that was the situation. So when I heard God's word being proclaimed, I ran away from my old denomination church. And I heard God's word here. And I came into the church. I found fellowship. Oh, I want to praise the Lord. Now, I was drawn to this church not because of music or any such thing. I was drawn here because of the prophetic word and the fellowship way back, many years ago. And God brought people like that, those who were interested in being disciples, those who want to honor the Lord, those who want to be a part of a pure testimony, and those who would tremble at His word, those who would fear Him. And thus God began to build up a small church in Bangalore. And you can say that's how a revival came about amongst God's people. And since then, since 1975, it's been a continual revival, year after year. I want to praise the Lord that what God is doing amongst us. I share this mainly for the benefit of many, many new people, because I don't think they have an understanding of what the Lord has done amongst us. You know, the Lord is building His church these days, and He gathers together the broken ones, the poor in spirit, the needy ones, the hungry ones, the thirsty ones, and then He starts building them up and helping them to grow in the Lord. And that's how it's been with us. All of us came with so much of need, so much of discouragement, and then we got hope. We found comfort and courage through God's word. And we must be thankful for the Lord for what He has done in this last 37 years amongst us. You know, the church, Jesus is coming again for a church that's glorious. And if you want the church to be glorious, first the Lord makes you and us glorious. You know, brothers and sisters, when we give our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, imagine if we have 30 brothers and sisters who will give themselves totally to God as a living sacrifice, we can say they are glorious brothers and sisters. And that's the kind of a church Jesus is building. Jesus gave Himself to God. And now, the Lord is looking for those who will give themselves Their bodies are the living sacrifice. And that's how we can become part of the body of Christ. And I'm not giving a message this morning. And I just want to share something that's on my heart. You know, one mark of the body of Christ is that there's a connection between us and the Lord. There's a direct connection between us and the Lord. And there's a connection between us and one another. That is the body of Christ. And you know, I can talk to some brothers and sisters. I know they've got a connection with the Lord. And also I know they have a connection with one another. And that is the church. And also, another mark of the body of Christ is, we are content to just be one member in the body of Christ. Just like in our body, there are many parts, but each part is content to fulfill its function. And there's no strife, there's no competition, there's no jealousy. And all those who have found their place in the body of Christ, they're content. There's no friction and tension and conflict in this body. And that's the kind of the church God's called us to demonstrate. Because you know, as we look around, brothers and sisters, everywhere you go, there's conflict and division and strife. Because they've not understood what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. But here, to be humble, ordinary brothers and sisters as members of the body of Christ, to say, Lord, I need you, and also I need the brothers and sisters. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, the members, they don't say, I don't need you. Many people think, oh, they can live their Christian life individually. Me and the Lord, they think they're okay. But we know it doesn't work. We need the brothers and sisters. God has placed the members, it says, as it has pleased Him. Even the ordinary brothers. And as we value them, we can receive from every one of them. And then we grow in the Lord. And the Bible says the growth also comes from Him. And it says in Ephesians chapter 4, I love this expression. You know, God's given us verse 4:14, Ephesians 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. Why? So that we can come up. It says, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's God's will, that all of us grow up to Christ, to maturity. And we're not like children, tossed to and fro. And then it says, verse 15, seeking the truth, we grow up to Him. And that's what we've been hearing in the church all these years. We got to grow up, not be babes, not be children. And then verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. That means every brother who's a member in the body of Christ. I can't say all those who come here are a member in the body of Christ. You're welcome to come here. But all those who are members, they said, they contribute, they supply. And as each member works effectively, he says, the body is built up in love. Oh, that's God's heart, brothers and sisters, to see a church where each one is faithful to do his or her part and to say, Lord, thank you for giving me one small place in the body of Christ. And I shall just fulfill my place, Lord. I believe it's very difficult to demonstrate that. And by the grace of God, God has done a work amongst us over the years. You know, all of us come from many, many backgrounds. And, you know, especially in India, those who speak one language, they don't have fellowship together. For example, the Malayalis want to be together with the Malayalis and have fellowship. The Tamilians want to be together with the Tamilians. So their fellowship is mainly based on their language. But we know that God has sought to do a work here. It says in Colossians chapter 3. Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, born nor free, but Christ is all. So by the grace of God in our midst, we are not worried whether a brother is educated or not, whether he is good looking or not, whether he is rich or not, whether he speaks the same language or not. And by the grace of God, we are now not worried whether we are Indians or not. God's added different nationalities too amongst us. We praise the Lord. It says here, there is no Greek nor Jew. in many, many churches. These are the things that bothers them. People of one language can't get along with people of another language. All Christians being divided on the basis of language and education. All these human barriers. But with the grace of God over the years, God has brought all kinds of people, especially in CFC. See, we've got all kinds of languages. Oh, that God can bring all kinds of people together and say, for us the most important thing is Jesus Himself, Christ Himself, the glory of Christ, the virtues of Christ. And to demonstrate in this country and this world that it's possible for brothers and sisters from all backgrounds to come and live together in peace, in unity and harmony, and to say, come and see what God has done. One new man, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity with the law of commandments, contained ordinance for to make in himself one new man. And I must say that's what God's done over these years, that we don't glory in our language, our community, our education, our wealth, but we glory in the Lord. We glory in Christ Jesus. We glory in His Word. And in what the Lord can do in ordinary brothers and sisters. And we learn to love one another. Jesus said, love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. You know, God's looking for a church where they love one another. It's very difficult to find a church, I'll tell you. I want to give you a project. Go and see. See if you can find a church where there's so much of unity and love and fellowship. And oh, I praise the Lord for what God's done over the years, that we can overcome all these human barriers and put the devil to shame and let the Holy Spirit work in us, let God work in us, so that we can say it's the new man that matters to us, not our background and not a language, not a community, and not a nationality, but to say, Lord, you work in us, you make us a pure testimony. And that's how God's worked amongst us. Not only that, in the church we say, Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples and teach them to obey all that are commanded. And I must say, brothers and sisters, it's rare to find a church where they emphasize, keep obeying every command of Jesus. I want to praise the Lord for Brother Zach and Brother Ian, who have been faithful like Noah. Noah preached for 120 years. They've been preaching for 37 years, same message again and again and again, to obey every command of Jesus. And I pray that there'll be another generation that'll grow up to continue to do that till the Lord comes. And not only that, in the church, we heard about overcoming, that sin need not rule over us, that we can overcome sin, that we can overcome the world, that we can overcome the devil. You don't hear that in many places, I'll tell you. Go around and see. The call of the Spirit, He overcomes. I hope there'll be an army of brothers and sisters who are gripped by that call that we heard years back. He overcomes. And to be part of that overcoming army of Jesus that Jesus is building. And Jesus said in Revelation 2, He overcomes. I will make him a pillar in the temple of God. And I must say, brothers and sisters, we need many pillars. You see this building, there are many stones and sand and all that built up together, but there are pillars. And the pillars are carrying the weight. And in the church, we need pillars. Not just mediocre kind of brothers and sisters who can say, I am stable and steady and steadfast. I cannot go back. I'm committed to the Lord. I'm committed to the church. He overcomes. I'll make him a pillar. And oh, may the Lord raise up many brothers and sisters who can be like pillars of the church, that nobody, nothing can shake them. What wonderful calling God's given us to be a pillar in the church. I hope you'll have a desire in your heart. Lord, I don't want to be just one who can warm the seat. I want to be a pillar by being faithful, by being an overcomer. You know, the devil is always trying to attack the church. But the Bible says they overcame him. Him is the devil. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. And oh, may the Lord raise up. Many brothers will say, I want to be committed to the Lord. I want to be committed to this church. I want to be committed to this vision with this God's given us. I want to be part of this overcoming group that the Lord's looking for. And I believe we can bring joy to God's heart. Oh, maybe bring satisfaction and joy to God's heart, brothers and sisters. And that's all I had to say. I already shared what I want to share last week. And I praise the Lord. When I look back, it really rejoices. My heart rejoices over what God's done, over what God's doing, and over what God will do. And I believe God's got great things in store for us. And I want to close with this. There's a tremendous need for revelation. Peter got a revelation of Christ. And Paul got a revelation of the church. But I believe we need a revelation so that these things can grip our hearts. So that it's not just academic, it's not just knowledge, not just doctrine. You know, when you're gripped, you live for it. And oh, may God raise up many, many wonderful young brothers who are gripped to live for the Lord. And to overcome the devil, to overcome sin and the world, to obey the word of God at any cost. And say, I'll close with that verse. That's my favorite verse. Can anybody tell me what's my favorite verse? It's in Nehemiah. I have many favorite verses, sorry. Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah brought a tremendous revival during his time. God used Nehemiah to bring wonderful revival. And they made a covenant. He made them sign. Nehemiah chapter 10 verse 39. And they said, the last verse, we will not forsake the house of our God. And on an anniversary, I hope we'll have many brothers and sisters who will say, Lord, the elders who started the church, who founded the church, as we all know, God used Brother Zach and Brother Ian to make them one new man. And like that, the work spread, not only from Bangalore, to Bangalore, to many parts of India, to many parts of the world, because of two faithful men who were loyal, who did not seek their own, who sacrificed, who worked hard, and who did not forsake the house of God. And for anniversary, shall we make a pledge this morning? Shall we all repeat this verse? We will not forsake the house of our God. So not only we're going to have a good time of singing and celebration and food, I hope we'll just remember one verse. Shall we say it once again? Loudly. We
will not
forsake
the house of our God.
And we trust the Lord that God will give the same vision for the next generation to continue in the same spirit, fighting the devil, fighting the sin, fighting the world tirelessly. And when the Lord comes, we'll say, well then, good and faithful servant. Amen.